listener production.
Yes, hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Mondays. Footy Talk is your place for latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. Today we have a very special guest. It's David Zaharakis from the Essendon Football Club. Did it on the MCG for the best part of a decade. We need to bring this man in because we need to talk about AFL locker rooms and what happened when the shit really hits the fan, because that's what's happening at the Western Bulldogs, and he experienced it a touch over his career at Essendon. Also, we want to talk about the Cats. They are flying. I got a love affair for Harley Reid. He is absolutely extraordinary. And a bit of bump and grind. We need to get to Zach Butters in that crouch. A little bit later, it's going to be a funky episode of Footy Talk. Yes, hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Mondays. Boy, it was a massive round six in the AFL. Big news stories everywhere, and Harley Reid, I'm in love with this man. He's outstanding. I can't wait to watch him play. He's going to have an incredible career at the West Coast. Lots on the agenda today. Essendon, Hawthorn, the Cats, Zach Butters, and I'm really looking forward to discussing it with this man who dominated in the red and black for the best part of a decade, played in some of the biggest games, or at least Anzac Day, which is just around the corner. It's David Zaharakis. Hello to you, Zaka.
How are you, Clarky?
Going well, mate. Geez, you're looking fit. You come in here and then you just took off your jumper before and half your T-shirt came. And I saw not like only a six-pack. You've got a 12-pack, my friend. You are in absolute fine form. Here I am eating donuts for breakfast and you're like a man over there. You are in fine fettle.
Thank you for that. I've got an Ironman in Port Macquarie in 2.5 weeks. So yes. Fully prepared for that at the moment.
Just keep that shirt, keep that rig of yours under that shirt, please. You're making me very, very jealous. Mate, what a round. Yes. What a round of football. Where do you want to start first? Now, the journalist in me has got the media bus parked at the Western Bulldogs.
Yes.
Because
what is going on?
Well, the CEO said last year they're a top four list. And then went to Bevo, they got done by your Bombers, and we'll get to them in a second. They got absolutely fried by the up and down Essendon side. And it looked like they're not a top four list. It looks like they're not a top eight list. It looks like they're absolutely struggling. And Luke Beveridge in the press conference afterwards was all over the shop, I must admit.
Yep.
What do you detect? What do you see watching the Bulldogs at the moment? Because there's a lot of quality, but not a lot of performance.
Yeah.
Is it fair?
Watching it as a fan, there's two school of thoughts that I think. You think, one, what's Bevo doing? He's making decisions where we as a public and footy fans go, Bailey Dale, Caleb Daniel, other players around getting dropped.
Jack McRae
getting dropped. And you think as a footy fan, oh, but they get 30 every week and what's he doing? And they're all Australians and they're superstars of the competition. But then the other side of it is if you're not in the four walls watching, as in us as fans, watching the behind the goals vision, what's happening off the ball, are those players really contributing to them winning games of footy? So do we as fans just take that for granted that, oh, they get 30 every week, they should be playing, and they help the Doggies win maybe 11, 12 games of the year, they finish 7th or 8th. But is Bevo seeing something that we're not really seeing as footy fans, because we get so seduced by players getting a lot of possessions?
By the possession tallies. So I think he is looking at what's happening off the ball and the defensive stuff, the lack of speed, because the modern game, and you know better than me, feels like that running power is absolutely bloody crucial, particularly coming off halfback. And that's where I think Caleb Daniel is like, well, I can't play him because a bit of a plotter, or no disrespect. You know, Jack McRae wears his man at times. You know, Timmy English gets destroyed in the ruck.
Yep.
So I feel like what needs to happen is the Bulldogs need to come out, Zaka, and say, this is where we think we're at. Right, we tried to top up and go again. It hasn't worked, and now we're looking at bringing in more speed and more kids, because otherwise a fan base is scratching their heads.
Yep.
What do you think's happening in the locker room? What happens in the locker room when, and mate, to be honest, given your 10 years in Essendon.
Not great, is it?
Yeah, more ups and downs than a yo-yo, I'm telling you. So you pick the period that you want to reference, but what's it like in the locker room when you sort of club's sort of heading one way, the performance isn't stacking up, and there's been just a whole lot of confusion? How do you guys feel in that moment?
It's quite hard when you're going through that stage, because the expectations of either yourself, the club, the fans, the media are one thing. And what you are getting is not results on the weekend. Players are struggling. As a senior player, sometimes through that time, and even me, and I reckon in about 2015, you think you might be getting dropped and the coach is protecting you and playing you. And as a, you can tell through the list, younger players would be looking at that thinking, when am I going to get a game? Yeah. Why aren't I getting a game? I'm performing in the VFL.
Yeah.
One thing, an advantage of the Doggies right now would be potentially that the young fellas are looking at it going, well, I'm going to get opportunities right now. Because what can really cook your culture is when young players just think coaches protect older players. I want to play them each week, even if they're not performing. They're going through losing games of footy when they should be winning, and players in the bottom of your list aren't playing footy.
So do you like what Bevo's doing then?
So in that regard, I kind of like it, being through that situation myself at Essendon where certain years we weren't performing, and you could just tell that players either have anger against you, yourself, when you're not the one picking the side each week.
Like, that'd go down well on a Tuesday at Tullamarine.
Exactly. So
poor Darcy Parrish is just trying to get to the midfield.
100%. And you're playing and you're getting 8 possessions as a midfielder and you're still playing the next week. So I can understand that, as I said, from a culture that can really cook your club. Players then have infighting. They don't then trust the coaches. Assistant coaches start going, oh, no, I'd pick you, but the head coach isn't really picking you. I can't help you this week kind of thing. And that's when you know that there's distrust between the coaches, all that kind of stuff. So as long as the Doggies have got clear vision of where they're going and then they're transparent with their players, we're not going to pick you if you're not performing. I don't care if you're the best player on the list or the last player on the list.
Yep.
You will get an opportunity to play this week.
Yeah.
Then I actually think Bevo could be helping within the four walls. Yeah. Now, what we on the outside think, as you said, we all think the Doggies are a top four list. Or the last couple of years, they're a top four list. They're underperforming. But within the four walls, we don't know if the players are really liking what's going on or not. Yes, they're not getting results, but they might be liking the fact that they got an opportunity, young players, I'm talking about, young players, that they could play.
And that's where the integrity, Le Montagne went in to bat for Luke Beveridge a bit last night on Fox Footy. He said, well, you know, it's, you got to keep these players accountable, what they are doing off the ball, etc. So if he's trying to set that standard and the players aren't doing what he's asking, then that's the selection integrity playing out, which would be good. But then if you're playing Harvey Gallagher and Lockie Bramble and all that, like, then that's that. It certainly isn't a top four team.
It might then encourage your list to be really turned over at the end of the year. You might get some senior players that want to walk
that's
and go
happen.
To other clubs.
Yeah.
It's going to happen and they get opportunity, which then organically your list gets turned over, which you want as a coach potentially anyway. And the young players and can come in and play some footy and the list can get turned over very quickly. But it's going to be interesting to see whether those players want to stay. But I think as well as you that there could be some big turnover.
Well, the other option is, if we're talking about turnover, so there's turnover in the playing ranks, when does the spotlight come on Luke Beveridge? Like, because we know at football clubs, Joey said this the other night, lots of, you know, yes, the talent on the list is one thing, but then as you said before, it's culture, it's selection, it's coaching, it's strategy. So the Bulldogs backed in Bevo after a review and brought in Matty Egan, who's a superstar.
Yep.
We both know that.
Yes.
Do you think the lens or the spotlight should also be put, the blowtorch should go on Bevo? Because he hates it when we start talking about his position. How are you seeing his role in this? You've been coached by, I lost count of how many coaches you had.
Seven in 13 years.
You had some good ones. Maybe you had some not so good ones. I'm not sure. But you know, what do you think should happen on that front? Because a lot of the Bulldogs fan base are screaming at the coach.
So in my time at Essendon, all you wanted was stability. Yep. Average a new coach every 2 years. And all you wanted was one coach to coach for 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Now, the Doggies have had that in Bevo. He's been there a long time.
Yeah, 11 years, I think.
It does get to the point where you're listening to the same voice and not much is changing. Mm. And yes, coaches can bring in people like Matty Egan and change over, whether it's performance coaching, fitness staff, assistant coaches, but you are still listening to the same one voice. Start to tune out. If you have senior players who have played there a long time, potentially they do need a new voice. Now, I'm not here calling out for Bevo's name to be sacked or anything like that, but I'm just saying there is a time as a player that potentially you listen to the same voice and the message is not getting through. Doesn't matter if they come at the start of preseason and say, all right, boys, we're changing it up. We did this the last couple of years. We're changing it up.
Yeah.
It's clear that since their 2021 grand final, they're going backwards and not improving in that regard.
I think if Luke Beveridge was to become available, he'd be an attractive proposition for like 2016 premiership coach. Yep. I think he's got a lot to offer, but maybe you can reach the end of the road. So now the club and the board are looking at that. They got spot fire over here in the playing ranks, maybe in the locker room. They've got to have a look at the coach. It's just a massive period of assessment. They come out and play the Saints on Thursday night, who have some of that running power that the Dogs are missing. And Ross Lyon, I think, is working miracles. Just quickly, like, how in the hell did they get one point. They fell 1 point short of GWS. You look at their team on paper, Zacha. Not only do they have half the side stacked with top 10 picks, it's top 5 picks. Kelly, Cornelio, Cadman. It's unbelievable. Hogan, it's an extraordinary side. Sammy Taylor's the best defender in the competition. But you look at St Kilda, they don't have the draft riches. So I think in terms of coaching, I think Ross Lyon is coaching the absolute socks off the joint to be getting that team to be that close. Because what happens when they actually do get some top-end talent in the club? Are you glass half full or glass half empty on the Saints?
I'm glass half full. I looked at their results this morning because I was thinking that as I was driving in, and they've lost 3 games this year by 1-4 and I think it's 8 points.
Yeah.
So they could be easily 5-0. Yeah. They could be 0-5.
Super competitive.
Super competitive in games. And Ross Lyon over the last 20 years, for me, him and Bomber Thompson are the two that get the most out of a list with what they have. Geelong ended up obviously having superstars, but Bomber was an unbelievable coach tactically. Yeah. And whenever I just listen and hear Ross Lyon talk.
You hear Bomber?
I hear Bomber. And it's the ins and outs of the game, the tactical, the strategy about the game, just how the game can unfold. I remember just Bomber could change mid-quarter exactly what was happening in the game. And I just feel Ross Lyon gets the best out of a list that he is dealt with. Right now, St Kilda, yes, they're 2-3, but they could have easily won the other 3 games that they've lost.
You feel embarrassed talking to Ross about footy sometimes because, oh, Ross, you see that, you know, contested possession down on blah, blah, blah. And you go, and then just spit out some unbelievable thing, which you just unpick the whole game in like 7 seconds. But I'm Mark Thompson. Like, I was genuinely scared. I used to report at the Geelong Advertiser as a kid, cutting my teeth when Cats were 2006, 2007, 2008. I was so scared of him. I talked to him sometimes. A little bit of weed come out, so I got to be honest. So how did you go coaching by? Because I found him incredibly intimidating at times. And sometimes he wouldn't even talk to you. He'd just make a noise.
That's exactly right. He would ask you a question in a team meeting and you would answer it. So Bomber used to have this rod that we used to point at, like basically point on the whiteboard. It'd be a rod. It'd be like a fishing rod,
like
right?
Like a teacher.
And Bomber would just whack it on the ground and he'd ask you a question, look dead you in the eyes, and you'd answer it, and he'd just go, while tapping it on the ground. So he didn't know if it was the right answer or not, and then he'd just move on to the next person. So he left you on absolute eggshells walking around the footy club. And you're right, you might not have spoken to him for a month.
Yes.
He just would have walked through the door, looked at you, made eye contact, and
Doesn't help when he's carrying a stick around.
Tony, that stick was a weapon. It was Bomber's fishing rod. It was quite funny.
You did quite well under him, I know. Shit was going pretty crazy at the time, but he did quite well under him.
Should have won a final.
Yes, that
period. Melbourne beat us by that one. Yep.
Some defensive issues from memory.
Yes.
I think I was in a press conference once.
We were 5 goals up in that elimination final and lost.
So. Was that the
thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry, was that the Drew Petrie?
Yes, Drew Petrie, yep.
The Frank the Tank.
Yep.
We asked him, I remember asking him in a press conference, oh, you know, what happened? We said, well, have a look at our defence.
It's still going, isn't it, at the moment? 10 years later.
We haven't been able to do it for about 10 years, so... Let's talk about not Dustin Martin, the new Dustin Martin, Harley Reid.
Yes.
Did you see the Don't Argue? He did it. He did it.
I did. He also got a Don't Argue against himself. Was it Shea Bolton came through?
I missed that one.
Yeah, I think it was in the second half of the game.
He got Don't Argue.
He got Don't Argue and put him on. He got put on his ass too.
Did he?
Yeah, it was brilliant to see. But as in him giving it and then also getting it both ways. It was great.
Remember this time last year, North Melbourne won that last round game against Gold Coast, right?
Yep.
That cost them the number one pick last spot. Meant they went up on 7/8. Now, I was playing a game of dad's school footy, right, at the time, that day,
interesting,
right? Up there at St Bernard's, St Monica's school, and it was come out the third quarter and I bumped into a North Melbourne player.
Yep.
who was playing for the other team. And I'm not going to mention his name, but it could have been Daniel Harris, right? And he goes, Clarkie, what's the score in the North Melbourne game? I said, mate, they're bloody winning. They're beating Gold Coast. And he looked at me with like absolute shock and fright. He said, we stuffed this up. We're going to miss out on Harley Reid, the number one pick, which is my view as well, because watching Harley play last night against Richmond and looking like he's going to become the next Dustin Martin.
Yes.
Would be a hard watch for North Melbourne fans. They beat Gold Coast, but then they lost Harley, and he's looking like a superstar in the making.
When you're a player playing in those games, you obviously want to win every single game you go out and play, but because competitive juices get going. And before the game, they might have said, boys, like, if we lose this, we get number one pick. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the second quarter, oh, we're a chance to win this. We may as well keep going. And I think you're right. They have missed a massive opportunity. You've got a potential generational type talent.
What do you see?
If he gets a tank, AFL look out. That's the only thing that he hasn't got right now that you're seeing.
Yeah.
He just needs to get his fitness up, two-way running up, and then he's an absolute superstar of the competition because he's got everything else. Yeah. He's starting to kick goals now, goals the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's getting high possessions last week, finally, and yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's got the skill of being able to find the footy, maneuver through, fend off. It's unbelievable what he's got, and I cannot wait for the next 15 years to watch him.
And I love the way he carries himself. Like, nothing seems to faze him. He's pretty cruisy. The Prince of Perth, can you imagine what's going on over there in the moment for him?
He would be dumb. Well, we're on the back page of the paper every single day for 3 months. It's the Prince of Perth. I remember one of my best mates, Luke Shuey, just him being over there and growing up, and everyone started absolutely loving him and winning the Norm and all that. It's a different world over there. When you're a two-team town, basically a one-team town, really, over there with the majority of the supporters, I couldn't imagine what it's like. But I saw his post-match interview with Kath Lachlan last night. He just looks like a kid that loves playing footy, smile on his face. He's a country boy.
Got the win.
I think it's been the best thing for him to just go to yes, it is a big club, but you're away from the East Coast.
Yeah.
You got the media over there, yes, but you are away from the big hoo-ha of AFL footy and you're just doing your own thing over in Perth. And for a kid that looks like he just genuinely loves footy and has fallen in love with the club, I think it's been the best thing for him.
For all the talk pre-draft about, he's from Tongala and he wants to come back to Victoria and you're going to be homesick or whatever. Well, I lived in Perth for 2 years. Do you know how good Cottesloe is?
Yep.
Oh, Cottesloe is that good. Get down south, mate. Perth's amazing. Leaderville, Subiaco.
Exactly.
And he would be absolutely parting the seas when he walks around the joint down there. So, well, I love him. All right. We meander. The Cats. What about the Cats, Saka? How many times have we written them off? They didn't make finals last year. Tommy Hawkins doesn't play against North Melbourne. Jeremy Cameron goes banana and kicks six. They look like they're top four and premiership threat all over again.
They're scary.
Aren't they?
They are scary. When they've banked five wins early this season. I know you guys always talk about, I think it's round eight or nine, what happens there. And then the top eight pretty much stays the same from there. They're already looking like top four is locked in from now. I mean, they're a scary proposition to come up against side, especially when Jeremy Cameron's playing this. Out of the top five players I love watching in the AFL, he is right up there in the top five. He's
whatever the Cats paid for him or traded for him was cheap.
It's cheap, yep.
Is it? You would give your left kidney have Jeremy Cameron.
Well, he's already
team.
Won him a flag.
Yeah.
Now he's obviously potentially going on a second finals run with him if they keep going the way they are. It's amazing to see. The question on him is going to be their midfield. They got one of the best forward lines in the comp, one of the best back lines in the comp. They're both just solidified forward and back. It's just, is their best midfield going to stack up against the best midfields in the comp later in the year?
That's a good question. I think there is improvement. Like Tanner Broome has improved. Like, I thought he was just a bit of a nice link-up player. Yep. He's got some real, he's winning
late
more
bloomer,
of the ball.
Yeah.
Yes, he's more dynamic than I thought he was. They got Jai Clark. Parfitt's come back in and resurrected his career. Plus, they got Dangerfield and Guthrie to come back in. So they got, they're just cherry ripe. And now Chris Scott. He's taking the piss a little bit because he's resting blokes already and it's around six.
I was just about to ask you that when you're 5-0 and you can start resting blokes already, can you? Or
how well are they going?
Yes. That's the thing. If they start winning games and banking it where they're 10-2 or whatever, they can really start resting players for the back half of the year because they have got a few older players with, obviously, like we said, young guys coming through.
Yeah.
Those older guys can be absolutely cherry ripe for later in the year.
Did you ever play at Cadinia Park?
Not in the AFL, no. The first time I think we played down there was 2022. Or maybe, no, 21, well, but I didn't play.
You didn't play VFL.
I played one game in 21 in VFL and the boys played after me. Yeah, it was when Truck didn't like me, but he's not the coach anyway there anymore, so it doesn't matter. Right.
And you have got Anzac Day coming up. So have you got like a full lineup of cashies? Like have you just got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday booked? Like,
it's
gonna
a great week.
You're going to go through the goal against, ah, Haracus.
I like when Anzac Day is on the Sunday because then you get the full slate of... of cashies. It's on a Thursday, so it's costing me 4 days
I'll be there. If you're lucky, you know, it is. If you haven't been to an Anzac Day game, get there. It is absolutely unbelievable. Like it is, other than the finals,
yes,
it is my favourite day of the year. What it's just quickly, and I know you'll talk, you would have this down pat, but what's it like in the lineup? The last posters playing the bugle. How do you feel? And you played a lot of them. Yeah. What's that moment like?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to play in all 13 in my 13 years of Anzac Day clashes. So I was pretty lucky in that regard. It's one of those just indescribable moments where you get caught up in the emotion when you get nine. Or I do, especially because I've got family connection with the war and on both sides of the family, mum and dad.
Right.
So you know how much it means to your parents. Mum and dad go to the Dawn service every single year, haven't missed one. Mm. And then to be able to play on that big stage where you've got 95,000 or 98,000 silent people. I've played in some pretty cracking days, so it's just blue sky looking up and it's silent. Yeah. And then you hear the last post and it is one of those just amazing feelings where you do get caught up and then all of a sudden it's all over and the roar starts happening. And I love Collingwood and obviously Essendon goes without being saying that the fact that their crowd's just
so respectful,
so loud when it's time to just roar and you get caught up in that emotion. During my time, I think we won 3 out of 13, I think,
really?
In my time. But even in those games when Collingwood starts getting going and chanting, as a football, like, tragic and fan, and even though I'm playing at the moment, you get caught up in that whole Collingwood when Essendon go off. And just the whole occasion, I absolutely love playing in.
You did that one of the three that you won.
Well, two of the three. Anzac Day medal in the other one.
Maybe we'll get to that. We'll get to that next time. We have run out of time here, Zach. Zach Butters. Cleared by the MRO, but Matt Crouch, one game suspension for Adelaide. Now, my view of this is that the difference is Butters made a genuine play on the ball, bent down with his hands. Now, he did run a red light and come through at absolute high speed. So he did push the boundaries with the velocity of the contest, but because he made a genuine play on the ball, that's what gets him off. The difference with Crouch, he comes in, tries to bump and brace before he then goes to pick up the ball. So that's the difference. Crouch wasn't making a genuine play on the ball, Butters was, so that's why the difference is in the two. But I can understand why it is confusing for footy fans.
I would say, to counter that point, that Crouch is making a play on the ball, but his pre-movement is to bump and then come back. So
clear space, protect.
Protect the space, protect where the ball is. So we get taught, in my 13 years at Essendon, we get taught two techniques. One is turn your hips and pick up the ball simultaneously as you're either hitting the bag or in a game hitting a body.
Yep.
And the other technique, which we do straight after doing that one, is that you hit the bag first and the ball is then behind you and you accelerate out of the contest.
So
what Crouch did. So we get taught those two techniques, which is obviously completely opposite to what the AFL potentially want.
Houston, we got a problem.
Exactly. Because I'm telling you right now, footy fans out there that think, how do we approach training is we've actually got an apparatus at Essendon got made up, which is kind of like a swing technique with a bag in the middle. And Cara, when Cara Sale was our midfield coach, he would roll the ball out and the first one would be hit the bag, pick it up. Next one, hit the bag and come back towards the footy. So me looking at it going, what I've been taught over the last 13 years is those two incidents.
Yeah.
Butters does the first one and Crouch does the second.
Right.
We've been taught that. Now, the two players going in, they go in with their hands kind of in front of them and just head over the footy, which is what you get taught as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that two players potentially with poor technique and then two players with technique we get taught.
Yeah.
But what the AFL are coming out saying, you can't do that anymore where
game's
you go.
Changed.
Yeah, we don't think you're making a play at the footy if you do hit the body first then come back, whereas I'm taught that is making a play at the footy.
We've got to need some reprogramming then, Zach.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, the AFL need to come out and say potentially you can't hit the body first and come back to the ball. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think the Butters one was definitely that simultaneous one, which you see in a lot of times where he actually had really good technique.
Yeah.
And Bailey Banfield may have just gone arms first rather than turning the body. But
they're
split second decisions. I don't know. Yeah. It's a very hard one. It's not a good look when you hit someone with your hip into their head.
Yep.
But as I said, I don't know. Last 13 to 15 years, you've always been taught to turn your body.
Did Blake Harrisella really make like a bag swing?
It is, mate. You should, if you go down to the footy club next, try and peek into the hangar. Down in the back corner, there'll be an apparatus that's like a swing, and there is a bag, like a boxing bag, which is a tackle bag kind of thing, hanging off it. And they do maybe 100 ground balls each before training. Yeah. It's a swing.
Carousel.
It's on wheels, it's a swing, and then you lock it in place.
He made this thing.
He made the team manager or whatever at the footy club make this for the footy club. So in 2021 or whatever, we rocked into training one day and all of a sudden there was this swing apparatus there.
No, he was so clever with his building skills.
Oh, no.
David Zaharakis, you've been absolutely bloody magnificent. You've got a big couple of weeks coming up, so enjoy the cashies, mate, and the Anzac Day respect. The AFL and its fan base does it so incredibly well. That's all for Footy Talk on a Monday. You know it's the place for all your latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. Tomorrow, we've got the St Kilda Mafia coming in. That's Liam Montagna and Nick Rewalt from Texas. So they will be all over the latest in the footy world. Zach, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time on Footy Talk.
Listener.